You know, I've as I grow older, I've lost my ass. I mean, I have no ass at all. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter one way or the other, because really, you know, the only thing an ass can do for a man is keep you from wearing suspenders later on in life, which is another pain in the ass, literally. Accessory, you know, glasses, hearing aids, you know, suspenders, new hip, and that kind of thing. So anyway, I have no ass. And it reminds me of a bit that Reynolds and Company did way back in the day. They weren't Reynolds and Silva yet. They were Reynolds and Company. And they had a call-in deal where people would call in and say, what men have the nicest butt? You know, and they did it like that. And I was in the car with a girl. I was just happened to be in the car with a girl I just started dating. And somebody called up and mentioned me, you know. And she was aghast. I mean, it made her incredibly uncomfortable. And me too. You know, but that was then. And now I have none. So, and I don't care. Now, please bear with me on the whole getting old thing. It's a brand new phenomenon for me. And I'm evolving into it. And I'm going to get used to it so I won't obsess on it. You know, like I have been lately. It's official. Middle age to old. You know, I'm taking Social Security benefits, okay? Is that enough proof? But listen, I'll get used to it and we can move on to just general basic Blade content. And last week, you know, on the podcast, I was talking about my addictions, and there may be hundreds of them. I mean, I'm probably in the hundreds, and I've decided that might as well just do it because they're what make life fun. Addictions are what make life fun. You know, as long as they're not like certain addictions, opioid addictions ruin life. Alcohol addictions ruin life because you just fuck up too much, even though it's fun while you're doing it. You know, but the rest of them, what the hell? And I mentioned last week that I was addicted to weed pulling. And I am, because it's rewarding. You look up and look at this beautiful, expansive, bright green lawn that you have. And I have took a video yesterday of my weed pulling. Just that in itself tells you how, you know, you got the bulb. You have to make sure to get the bulb in it. And you pull it out and you can get like 25 in your hand. You know, and you just throw them in your trash bin there in your yard. And you just do that. And once you do 3 or 4 or 5, you just can't stop. And the next question is this. What the hell is a Canadian thistle weed doing in my yard in the Sonoran Desert? How do you get a Canadian thistle 1,903 miles into the Sonoran Desert? You know. And here's the other thing. I know that it's a Canadian thistle. Here's another thing. I looked it up on the internet to find out what kind of a weed it was. I want to thank Lee Smoke. He is my first donator, and he donated through my audio podcast, which is on Buzzsprout. Lee Smoke, thanks. He's a very kind, nice guy. I met him over the years. I've never seen his face. You know, and he's a rock guy, and we talk from time to time, and he went out of his way to find my audio podcast, and he donated to me on a monthly thing, and I appreciate that. And it reminds me, now that it's official, about how you don't have to ever meet friends anymore. You can meet tons of people and have tons of friends, and you don't have to meet them anymore, you know, in person, which is great. It really is. Sometimes when you meet people, it ruins friendships immediately. You know, sometimes it helps too, when you meet people, but I think it's really cool that you don't have to see people in person or meet them at a social gathering or a networking event. You know, you can just meet them online, I guess, and you get to know the real them. Well, no, you don't, because it's Facebook, so it's all fake. But back in my radio day, I would take phone calls at night, you know, and I never knew who the hell was calling, because now you don't have to answer the phone because you know who's calling, someone you don't know. But back then you didn't know, so you'd answer the phone. And I worked at night, which was my favorite air shift of all of them. And as Edgar Winter once said, he had an album out called They Only Come Out at Night. And that's why I liked it. I knew I'd get all these wacky phone calls from people screwing up, screwing around. And I did. And I made several friendships to this day that I still have of people that I never met. Like Lee Smoke, as I just mentioned a minute ago. And I met a guy named Mike Ruck. That was his last name, Mike Ruck. And he was on my concert ticket dole. Just on the phone, he called from time to time. We talked for a minute. And on my concert ticket dole, meaning he would call up and I'd get him, you know, tickets for shows that came into town. And the thing of it is that he found me bootleg tapes, and he transcribed them to CD back then, of Led Zeppelin playing at Dorton Arena in Raleigh in 1970. I mean, we're going to be friends for life just for that alone. And if you know anything about Dorton Arena in Raleigh, the audio there is shit. It's horrible. Always has been. I've heard Jimi Hendrix when he played there with the Monkees. I've heard tapes of that. And it's just terrible. And I saw George Thorogood was the last show there. I don't know, maybe 1999 or something like that. I don't know. And the audio was just awful at Dorton Arena. But still, he got me the bootleg tapes. And, you know, I'd never even tried to play them for you here on this podcast. But I've got them. And I'm happy to have them. So we've got that friendship. And the guy makes rain barrels, for crying out loud. You know, he crafts them, you know, and sells them to people. You know, when I met Leslie Olson, I've known her for 20, 30, 40 years, I think, and talk from time to time. It's great. And she's a true rock girl, which I love, totally love. And she works for medical benefits company. You know, she'd call up when I talk about that from time to time. You know, never met her once. And then I found her incredibly interesting. Never saw her. Same here. I mean, not even once. You know, and this girl named Beverly, who would call me up and talk, and she was so depressed constantly, and she had this morbid fear of flying. And I knew her for about a year. She'd call up, talk for about 2 minutes or something, hang up. She'd ask me for some, play something, and I'd try to. And she had this morbid fear of flying, and then she called up about a year after we'd talked. And she said, "Look, Blade, I've got an airplane flight. I've got to fly to Sacramento, California from Raleigh, and I'm just petrified. You know, I had a dream last night," she told me, "that I never made it to Sacramento, California, and I'm just so afraid to go." "Well, when are you going?" I asked her. I said, "I'm going tomorrow." She said, "Oh, wow, okay. Well, I'll be thinking about you," you know. And she took off, I guess, the next day, she told me sometime, and I never heard from her again. I never heard from her again.